add to wanting to be in his presence, wanting to worship him, wanting to honor him, wanting to love him, add to that valor, add to that a determination to fight the enemy. Amen? A determination to fight addiction, a determination to fight pornography, a determination to fight lying, a determination to fight stealing and anger and hurt and abuse, a determination, not in the devil's strength, not with the devil's warfare plan, amen? With the Holy Spirit, weapons of warfare, which is blessing those who curse you, amen? Which is really speaking blessing, really releasing forgiveness, praying, pulling down strongholds, dealing with the stuff in your own heart so that you have authority to get the splinter out of their eye, amen? The things God teaches us in his word. This is how he wants us to fight. This is, he wants you to stand up to the enemy. He wants you to stand up to what's always put you down. He wants you to break loose from where the enemy has had you in his grip. Amen? And God says, add that. Add that to what you're doing if you want to stay free, if you want to walk in what God's called you to walk in. Let me go back to him. All right, this is a powerful list. I really encourage everybody to look at 2 Peter 2:1 and really, really make sure that you're doing this on a regular basis in your life. All right, so he wants us to enjoy his glory, walk in holiness, let him deal with evil, get to know him, touch him, encounter him. Spend that time putting on worship music. Spend that, get that, Pandora or something? Pandora thing on the Christian station with worship. You could put somebody's name in like Misty Edwards or somebody and get awesome through the roof worship thing. Be a part of what's going on in worship when we play this DVDs. Come up to the front and enter in. Amen. Enter into that place of worship. Enter into that glory. Enter into that presence. Amen. Know this. Be touched by God. Have a knowing of God. Understand him in his word. Look at Jesus. See what he really looks like, what we're supposed to look like. See how he really handles things. Amen? It says, he's called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given exceedingly great and precious promises. Wow. He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Okay, you ready for this? To escape the corruption of the world. It says, he's given us exceedingly great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, you're doing this wrong. When you're trying to deal with the lust, and you're trying to deal with the past, and you're trying to deal with the lies, and you're trying to deal with all this stuff in mostly your own strength, you can't overcome. When you think you can't go into his presence until you get this right, you can't overcome. Amen? There's a big difference in coming into the presence of God with my problem and not hiding it. There's a big difference going through the blood of Jesus to talk to my dad. Instead of buying a lie that I can't go in because of this evil stuff in my heart. He says, wait, if you come in through the blood of Jesus, which is truly, I want to be free, not hypocrisy. Truly, God, delivered. Truly, God, I want to know you. Truly, God, I need your touch. Truly, God, I want to understand glory. Truly, God, I want what you have. Lord, I need these things. When I can come in through that, when I can come into the presence of the Heavenly Father, led by the Holy Spirit through the blood of Christ, and see my God, and read his word, and get revelation, guess what he does? He gives me exceedingly great promises. Amen? So many of you are waiting till you get to the other side of something, the other side of addiction, the other side of sickness, the other side of perversion, the other side of anger, the other side of this, the other side of this. You're waiting till you get to the other side to go into the very place where his divine nature will cause you to know him, to the very place where he will rise you up to be able to fight the enemy, to be one who has virtue, to be one who touches his glory. See, when you taste and see that the Lord is good, it is so hard to want to go back to perversion. When you buy the lie that I can't get free, until I can't taste of God until I get free. But let me tell you this, the Bible's really clear. Once you've tasted and you've seen how good he is and you choose to go back, there's nothing left to save you. This isn't something you play with. This isn't something where you go in and hang out with God and his presence and you enjoy it for a season. But then you let your heart kind of go back to the things of the world and you run back after the devil. You will find yourself being turned over to Satan that your soul gets saved. You will find yourself in trials so big and so fast and so horrific, you won't know what hit you because you took lightly the blood of Christ. It's in his word. Amen. This way, it's up to you to make sure that you are changing. It's up to you to make sure that you are crying out to God, that you're not becoming worldly, that you are still as hungry for God today as you were yesterday, but more hungry, that you want to serve him more, that you know him more, that you want him to deal with everything in your heart more than ever. Amen? So that you don't slowly be taken backward, and you don't even know it because he's so subtle and so slow, and pretty soon you're thinking about when you loved God, and when you were hungry for God, and when you were going after God. Can I tell you that's backslidden? Thank God for repentance. Thank God for repentance, amen? Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Mercy is you don't get what you deserved and how you just acted. You don't get what you should get based on how you've treated the blood. Mercy is a cry of your heart that says, God, I don't deserve another chance, God. I don't deserve your faithfulness, God. I don't deserve to come into your presence. And mercy says, no, you don't, but I'm going to let you. But don't play with this. Don't play with something as precious as the blood of Jesus. Don't play with something that he went to hell to set you free from. Don't befriend his enemy and think you're going to come out of it okay. That's called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord says, who am I now that I know Jesus Christ, that I know he's real, that I know there's a Holy Spirit, that I know he paid for my sin? The fear of the Lord says, I'm going to say yes, sir, to him no matter what my flesh wants. I am going, if I have to throw the TV out and bust the computer to stop myself from sinning, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. If I have to humble myself and go where I don't want to go, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. If I've got to ask him to show me when I can't see, I'm going to ask him to show me when I can't see until I can see. Amen? That's the part about valor, that's fighting. Fighting. You fight until you have the victory. You don't sit down and become the whiner. Well, I tried so long and God's not. God has already said yes. God has already released everything you need. You're the only one in the way. You're the only one in the way. Well, they would just teach better. You're the only one in the way. You have the Holy Spirit and the Word. Well, if somebody... Get rid of if they. The if they blaming somebody is Ahab. And I'm going to just take care of it for them is Jezebel. And this is not talking about this Jezebel in the New Testament. This is the Jezebel who connects to taking care of and performing the evil things that Ahab once done, because Ahab is a moany, groany, manipulating, twisting kind of thing that wants evil to come out, but would rather somebody else do it. And the Jezebel is, I'm going to take care of it. I'll do it for you. I'll cover up for you. I'll make nobody know about this. I'll make everything all right. Amen? And God says, stop and command both of those out of your personality in Jesus' name. Let me tell you, one of the strong things that the enemy does in this Ahab Jezebel thing we've been looking at is a false loyalty. I have loyalty to no one but God. Where's that in the Bible? Jesus says you have to hate your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, everyone that gets in the way of what he's calling you to do. Does he really mean hate? He means you hate a relationship. You hate what the enemy has done in a relationship that takes the place of Holy Spirit. And he uses the word hate. Why? Because he knows entanglements will cause people not to receive the that he has for them, no matter how well-meaning the intentions are behind anything. Amen? I've hurt my children, but I was well-meaning. It's like Paul says, I sinned, but I didn't. It was unintentional sin. Can everybody understand that unintentional sin is still sin? That unintentional sin still hurts people? That unintentional sin still releases demonic things that stops people from hearing and being and doing what God wants? Break the power. Oh. I can't be loyal if I'm led by the Spirit of God. Because he knows everything. He knows what I need to be doing. He knows what I need to say. He knows what I need to expose. He knows what I need to do. He is the one in charge. He understands the spirit realm. He does everything he does to set people free, never to hurt anybody. Everything he does is to set people free. And where are the main things in the way? Where are the main things in the way? That's why you have to look at your life. That's why you have to look at the fruit. That's why you have to open your eyes and say, how am I in the way? How am I in the way? God, help me. I don't want to be in the way. I want to be part of the answer if you want me to be part of the answer. And I just want to be part of prayer if you just want to be part of prayer. But I don't want to be in the way of what you're doing. I don't want to be in the way of how you're shaking. I don't want to be in the way of seeing somebody set free because you're bigger than me. You know what you're doing. You know what we need. You know how to set us free. Amen? Amen? The enemy does everything to cause entanglements so he can stay in charge. And very few people that I've ever personally met purposely make entanglements to try to control and manipulate people. Very few people I've ever met actually have entanglements thinking they're hurting somebody. Show me one scripture where God says, be loyal to man. He says, make no vow to any man. I'll be honest with you, there is no covenant outside of the new covenant. I don't see one place in scripture where it says I'm to have a covenant with any human being. What about me? The Bible says, make no vows. I don't need a covenant with my husband. That's like an agreement that says, I'm going to stay in this no matter what. No, I got a God inside of me, and he's got a God inside of him who will get us through everything victoriously. The minute I come in covenant, I've become into a place of bondage that says, I have to stay in this. And pretty soon, I'm going to be angry and hurt and manipulative because I don't like being where I feel like I have to stay. I don't have to stay in anything. I just stay in the will of God. And guess what? The will of God will keep me in my marriage. And the will of God will fix my marriage. And the will of God will take care of my children. And the will of God will have me do what I need to do, what I want to do. And he will take care of friendships. And he will take care of this ministry. And he will take care of everything pertaining to me. Amen? And the enemy wants, where can I get in? There's not a Christian who should ever think divorce. We need to fight in the spirit realm. Now, there's biblical reasons for divorce. We're not going to get into that. But what a greater God if he can bring it to true victory. Amen? You're going to die to self one way or the other. So you're already in the one you're in. You just as well go ahead and die there. Amen? Get out and die. How many people see people marry over and over where they kind of stop for a minute and figure maybe this is you? That God, you know, God's going to kill you one way or the other, amen? You just as well stick with the thing you've been in for so long until you get to the other side where it's glorious, where it glorifies God, where he gets all the glory. And I can tell you, it begins when you quit looking at anybody else to change. That's why the Bible says don't threaten. He means it. What's threatening? I'm going to control you to do what I want by threatening you. What's going to happen if you don't? The truth is, you don't know what's going to happen if they don't. Because that's up to God. That isn't up to you. Whoa. You mean it's up to God if I stay in this marriage? It ought to be. You mean it's up to God if I ever see my mother-in-law again? It ought to be. Do you mean it's up to God if I go through this? It ought to be. How many are getting this? This isn't about you in charge. This is about God in charge. When you're in charge, the devil's in charge. Every single time. Amen? But sometimes God will say, get away. I'm not, he's God, not me. He knows what's planned. He knows if that person's about to do something horrible, God might tell you to get away. Amen? The problem comes when you don't know how to hear God. So come to the conference we're having October 30th and 31st, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do nothing but scripture to show you how to hear God and to clean out the things that are talking to you that aren't God. Amen? Amen. As I asked him, how are we supposed to hear